Wonderful questions. So 40 years ago, the old system was being practiced where we only remove a piece of the affected organ. Yeah. In today's world, you remove the whole gland. So there's no chance it would grow back in today's technology and today's techniques. So 40 years ago, yes, a portion and not your entire thyroid would have been removed. So you would have had a lobectomy or partial thyroidectomy is the better term. So the risk of regrowth, which is what we spoke to earlier, is exactly what happened to you. Now, the good news here is the regrowth on your side has not come into excessive function. It's been enough to keep you going as you are. That being the case, there's no need for medication because the portion left back, even though it's growing again, for whatever reason, is still functioning within the range of norm. So we'll just keep watching you every 3 to 6 months, so to speak, to make sure you don't become hyperthyroid or you don't develop nodules that can become potentially malignant or cancerous over time. So that would be the way forward. Now, TSH used to be the main gold standard for testing. We now know that we look for more than TSH in terms of monitoring a patient. So as a very basic, the TSH and the free T4 would be what most doctors would do to follow up. The specialists, depending on your symptoms and signs, will probably add a T3 to their list depending on what else other symptom pathology you may have. But a TSH and a free T4 are basic packages to follow up at this time. So you're under good management, good investigation skills with your doctor, so you should be okay.
I find that I'm losing weight again. So without having to...
Well, there are many causes for weight.
Mm-hmm.
There are many causes for weight loss. And two, you said you had your thyroid done 41 years ago. So yes, that probably puts you over 50, 59, 60 age range.
64.
So a lot of other things can be going on. So, right. So a good physical by your doctor, just if you may bring that up in discussion, the doctor might want to ask you a couple more questions and check a couple more blood tests just to make sure you're on the right lines. But you said your thyroid function was normal. So it's unlikely that your thyroid is responsible for your weight gain or your weight loss at this time because they're normal. So they're functioning normally. So you just go back and have a chat with your GP and let them discuss with you a couple more options of where you can go with respect to the weight management.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, caller. Dr. Boyce,
you're welcome.
It is getting busy here with your queries and the lines. Do we continue or? Because I've got three.
Yes, we go right ahead. The questions are very interesting.
All right, because we've got four lines going, so let's see if we can access one here quickly. Very good evening to you.
A very good evening to you, too.
Yes, please, the doctors can hear you.
I want to ask the doctor if the thyroid gland is anything to do with my stevis gravis.
Oh, that's a fantastic question. And yes, there is an association with thyroid disease and myasthenia gravis. And usually once you have myasthenia gravis, we look for the thymus to be part of, which is a part of the neck organs to be involved. So yes, people with myasthenia gravis, thyroid disease, and other autoimmune diseases, you will certainly have a good look around checking for thyroid disease.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, you're very welcome.
You're welcome.
All right, the others have disappeared for the time being. So let's ask this question here. In fact, they're coming back now. Very good evening to you.
Hey, good evening.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I just want to know if thyroid malfunction is whether hypo or hyper. If you find that it occurs a lot, then a woman has a young baby after the birth of a child.
I got a lot of fuzziness. I didn't get the question properly.
Could you repeat for us, sir?
Asking whether or not thyroid...
Go ahead, Dr. Boyce.
Whether or not thyroid malfunction usually occur after the birth of a baby. If it's common. Yes.
Okay, so again, pregnancy is a really high point hormonal state for the woman. So a lot of the hormones are in motion, and so the sudden delivery or the expulsion of the fetus or leaving the birth of your child is also a sudden shut off of hormones as well. So it can cause almost like a volcanic eruption in a female. And sometimes you get something called Sheehan syndrome, where there's acute bleeding within the pituitary. And since the pituitary is like the main circuit breaker for the thyroid family, if that becomes disrupted or malfunctions, then all the other hormonal glands can be affected, of which namely the thyroid is one of them. So yes, it can occur. It doesn't occur that often, however, but it can occur because in modern medicine, we manage all these other conditions in the laboring process and we're very careful. So it usually does not happen, but it can happen. Okay. In pregnancy, because it's a heightened state for the baby as well, to make sure the baby is well, the thyroid will also become overactive a little bit. And then enters anywhere between the 10th to the 16th week of gestation, the thyroid starts to function. And in that period, the fetus helps out the mother with any thyroid issues that might be occurring. And so the mother's state reverts to normal or as close to normal as possible. But in the initial first trimester, the thyroid can go awry. And so intervention may be necessary to tidy it up a little bit until the baby can help out effectively during the pregnancy.
Yeah, and I think I'll just interject here for those women who, thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you for your call. For those women who are planning pregnancy and you are known to have either hyper or hypothyroidism, that you should really check in with your general practitioner or your gynecologist / obstetrician to let him or her know that you are desirous of becoming pregnant or you've discovered that you're pregnant, so that your medication can be adjusted as necessary and you can be monitored a little more closely during pregnancy, because you don't want to deprive the fetus of that necessary thyroid hormones in the stages where the baby's thyroid gland isn't working as yet. There is another call there, Greyston.
Yes, please. Very good evening.
Good evening, Greyston, and good evening to the panel.
Yes, ma'am. Nice to hear you.
Thank you. I just asking three questions. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Okay. First, what fruits and vegetables should you be using? That's number one. Number two, is lemon water good for thyroid? And number three, is tap or hot water? Can you use tap or hot water, you know, tap water for the plate?
All right, we've got those questions, Doc.
I have them.
Great. So are you going to hold for the answer, or are you going to put down and listen to the answer?
On another question, I want to know if sweet potatoes good as well to use.
So
that's just
questions
I asked, okay?
No problem. So that's question number four. Okay.
All right.
All right. Take care. Have a good evening. All right. The good doctor will help us out there.
Okay. Well, I will have to jump in because I think we've lost Dr. Goddard again.
Oh.
Whether or not there's a specific... Yes, there is a specific diet for thyroid disease. I think I am reaching the stage in my career where I am discovering that there really isn't a specific diet for a healthy diet. It's what the nutritionists recommend. A certain proportion of fruits and vegetables, high fiber, high water, cutting out the refined carbohydrates and trying to be as healthy as possible. There are some medical conditions where you need adjustments. For example, those persons who are on dialysis, they have to reduce the amount of protein that they have in their meals. So there are specific medical conditions where you would have to reduce certain parts of or certain amounts of the diet. However, I don't know if there is a thyroid diet. I could be dead wrong and Dr. Goddard come back on and say, oh well, there is a special thyroid diet. I do know that in many areas in the world where iodine was missing, and that used to be years ago, that there was a problem with the thyroid gland, but now that we have iodized salt, that problem has been resolved pretty much. And Dr. Goddard is back with us, so let me share with you those questions, Dr. Goddard, from our previous caller. First of all, yeah, let me understand technology. The only thing that doesn't fail is the Lord. The first question she asked was whether or not there were particular fruits and vegetables that were necessary for a healthy thyroid. The second question was, she said about lemon water. She didn't ask about it specifically for hyper or hypothyroidism or thyroid health. She just said lemon water. The third one was tap water versus hot water. I'm going to jump in here and say nobody should be drinking hot water because hot water burns. So if she meant boiled water as opposed to tap water, that's a little different. Especially if you live in St. Lucie, where what comes out of your pipe does not meet the definition of water because it has a color, a taste, and a smell. And her last question was about sweet potatoes.
Dog.
Okay. So let's jump in the middle. But I'll tackle you the water, though. The Chinese and Eastern society believe that warm beverages first thing in the morning and also at night also detox the body and helps calm the body down. So the claim is part of their wellness and healthness program. So they recommend drinking lukewarm or warmish beverage first in the morning and late at night, but definitely not boiling water.
Right, so I was being very specific. Hot. I remember a couple of months ago, there was this trend on YouTube or TikTok or something where these persons were being dared to down boiling scalding hot water and they died, right? So just making sure that it is lukewarm as opposed to hot.
Yeah. All right. So clearly, if you can't even hold a container in your hand, probably to down it in your mouth. I mean, there's something wrong with that scenario. So,
correct. You
know, it's a little hard to find sympathy there. But a mother losing her child that way, you know,
yes, very tough.
Yes. But to go back now, the internet is laced with lots of information about green leafy vegetables and so on in terms of helping the thyroid. And because the thyroid is a fighting body, antioxidants in general are full of antioxidant properties. Are more thyroid related foods. I say that even though I say that I don't really practice it because the evidence remains so poor out there with respect to is it beneficial or not. So yes, it's there on the internet. A lot of people see it, a lot of people ask about it. But when the evidence that looked at some of the foods suggested, it never panned out. So I can tell you people believe it, but the scientists have not been able to show definitively that it makes a difference. With respect to the tubes, the potatoes, and so on, good trace elements, lots of iron, lots of potassium, lots of trace elements there. But iodine, no. So people who live in Caribbean countries where there's lots of salt ponds, like say Angola and those islands, there's lots of thyroid disease because those people use excessive salt from the ponds which have excessive iodine. And then that causes some challenges with the thyroid. So salt ponds, you're a bit cautious with. There's a thing of using iodized salts now as a trend. And again, people use iodine in earliest to avoid hypothyroidism. But health practices and food are fortified with iodine now, so there's no need to do these excessive things. So life has changed quite a bit with the modernization of food principles. So there's no need to add extra iodine to your diet and stuff anymore.
Okay,
so I think I've answered all four.
No, one, lemon water.
What was the specific question? Because lemon water itself.
Lemon water.
Right, so lemon water is just again an antioxidant. South American practices and the modern practice a little bit of alkaline water or the lemon water, citrus water, makes a difference, helps you to lose weight and all of that. I don't know, I haven't tried it. The studies are still out there pending, but you know what most people believe, a lot of street doctors practice it, so I guess if it works for you, go for it.
Yeah, I like that term, street doctors. I have to keep that in my arsenal. Yes, Grayson?
Yeah, did we cover all four? Because we've got a caller on the line. Did we cover all four?
We did.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes,
we've got a caller on the line. We've got a couple WhatsAppers here as well, so I want to get through those. Should we take the caller first, or?
Yeah, let's take the caller, then the WhatsApp.
Yes, please. Good evening. You still with us? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Hello, good evening.
Yes, the doctor can hear you, please. Go ahead.
Oh, am I on?
Yes, sir. You are on.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening to the doctors. Good evening to you, Gregson.
Thank you.
Beautiful show. Wonderful show, future. When we were growing up, as children, we used to hear about taking out your tonsils. Is this what you're all talking about? This will be the same subject matter?
No. The tonsils are part of the immune system. So you get a lot of respiratory tract infections in those days. So you remove your tonsils. But we're talking about a far more important gland now. It's called the thyroid gland. It's also in the middle. It's from your neck, but it's far more on the outside, just below the skinny part of your neck. It's not on the inside of the neck.
Next quick question. Every now and then, I get some problems with my voice. As you can hear now, would that be a part of a thyroid problem? Hello?
It could be if you had an enlarged swelling in the middle of your throat, somewhere in there on the outside, you can see a big visual swelling. Then yes, I would say you would have a goiter and it would be causing some compression. Or if you had surgery in the past and your thyroid was removed or even treated, you may get paralysis of the vocal cords. So there is a correlation between hoarseness and thyroid disease, but there's a lot more that would be needed first than just having hoarseness out of the box. In these common times, it might be more be respiratory related or sinus related. So perhaps a good chat with the GP can help you navigate that a bit better.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
All right, thank you kindly. And we've gotten up, as I was about to say, that person disappeared. Well, that gives me the opportunity to read this one here for you. This one says, forgive me for interrupting, Gregston. Can I be menopause at age 44? Isn't that too early? Also, where or how can I get my thyroid tested? I'll tell you what, dear WhatsApper, I've got an expert here who can answer all those questions for you, and I will divert those questions to the experts. Go ahead, Doc.
I can answer the second one.
Go right ahead.
So the second one is a plug that I'm going to put in for the role of the general practitioner, where if you have any concerns, which is what we always say to you here on the show, if there's something that's bothering you, you take that concern to your general practitioner. Here in Barbados, we are blessed with a free at point of delivery healthcare system, and you can have a general practitioner there see you, or there are several general practitioners available throughout the island. He or she will have a discussion with you, he or she will examine you, and then make a determination. And the testing of the thyroid is done by a simple blood test where a sample of blood is removed from a vein that's easily seen or felt, and then that's sent to the lab. The persons in the lab run the test and the results are sent back to the doctor, and he or she will then discuss with you. And then I now defer to Dr. Gordon to talk about early menopause.
So unfortunately for that caller, menopause now is typified anywhere between the ages of 45 and 55. So you being 44, 45-ish, is right on target for the entrance of menopause into your life, or we call it the third stage of womanhood. Before menopause truly comes on, there's a period of waxing wane of other hormones, and that's called perimenopause. Now, the perimenopause can take 2, 3, 4 years. That's why some women say, I've been in menopause for the last 5 years. It's really been in the perimenopause phase, because the age of your ovaries is determined by your genetics. If you entered your periods late in life, you probably have a late menopause. If you have a family history where your mother goes into menopause at age 60, unfortunately for you, you will have a very late menopause. But typically the age range is between 45 and 55. And as I said, the lead up to that, 3 to 5 years, then you can start the symptoms anywhere between 43, 42. And when we speak of perimenopause, we can speak of weight gain on. Unexplainable weight gain. I know I get that question so many times in my office. Why am I gaining weight? Why me? I'm eating right. I'm exercising. I'm doing all the right things. I'm gaining weight. But invariably, the hormones are at work. Then the brain fog, the mood disorders, the lack of interest of anything, even home duties. Sometimes the children suddenly become irritating for no known reason. The sudden outlashes at your partner or spouse. And all of these things can come about just because all the other hormones are not in agreement. And as that starts to happen, then the body is responding to so many different inputs from different stimuli that the host, which is you, then become a very irritable person for that period. Now, there are separate reasons, though, why you may go into menopause early, and that's called premature menopause. And then a whole lot of other causes for that. It can be emotional trauma. It could be ovarian cysts. It could be a thyroid dysfunction or other hormonal imbalance, or a couple of other gynecological reasons where this blood supply to the ovaries are being compromised. So for separate reasons or direct insult to the ovary, a female may go into premature menopause or premature ovarian failure, separate and apart from the hormonal dysfunction or the genetic clock turning on saying, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come where we, the ovaries, must now surrender and depart from this place. You know, so I'm not trying to oversimplify menopause because it's a serious, most is a serious period in a woman's life. And men, please listen and listen very well. You have to be most attentive in this period. You'll be blamed for everything. Take it. You have to provide emotional support. Give it. You have to go to your rate and make sure your partner is comfortable during these hot flashes. Do not bring attention to them. Pacify them. Pacify the moment. Distract from that moment, because you will never know how it feels like unless you make the wrong reaction and you suffer a more serious crime in which you will pay for dearly. So menopause is a serious thing. And probably you can get appropriately in the name because your life as a man may be put on permanent pause if you handle it badly. So it is an interesting time for women, but also a very precarious time for men.
All right, Dr. Goddard, we might have to have you here on some overtime because we're being flooded with some WhatsApps here. Interesting enough, you said during this period you might be blamed for everything. I thought that used to happen normally. I didn't know it was special time to be blamed for everything. And now I see your face, Dr. Boyce. Anyhow, we've got a call on the line and then we've got several WhatsApps here, so I don't know which. Good evening, are you still with us?
Good evening.
Yeah, I'll stay the call.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Good evening. I want to know the...
Good evening.
Yes, please, Doc. The having your thyroid taken out, does it affect your heart?